So I'm Titi, my background is more decentralized and peer-to-peer protocols and applications, and I started building peer-to-peer collaboration protocols, and I thought I would talk to this crowd about decentralization and how it relates to digital sovereignty and collaborative applications. So I start with the notion of digital sovereignty, which is collective and personal autonomy and control over various technologies, infrastructure, data, algorithms, identities. So in this conference we talk about a lot open hardware and software, and what we need to keep in mind while developing these technologies that the complexity of these technologies, we keep it bounded, so we can keep studying and modifying all the underlying software and hardware. And these days we have managed to build layers and layers upon layers of technologies that maybe the newer generation doesn't really understand what's underneath of all these. And this also leads to like issues of security and attack surfaces getting larger and larger. And when we talk about digital sovereignty, in order to make to maintain and manage and our own infrastructure, we need to be able to understand the technologies that and maintain the technologies that are underlying this infrastructure. Recently there have been many efforts to create collectively managed autonomous infrastructures, but there's still an issue around data sovereignty and especially personal data sovereignty. Since even if we have trusted people managing our infrastructures, we give them to certain collectives or trusted service providers, but that these federated servers communities are trying to establish, but still there's an issue with like the personal data sovereignty. If I want to migrate my data to somewhere else, how do I do that? It's not straightforward. Same with identities. Usually identities are tied to specific servers and very hard to move. I argue that we need to have a way to each user in the system should have a way to have full access to all the data they are interacting with on a protocol level and by default. And once we have that, then one can take their data wherever and collaborate on that in different environments. And the same with identities, that self-sovereign identities that are based on cryptography and public keys instead of a username and a domain name allows users to take their identities with them even if they migrate to other hosters. So one concept I'd like to talk about is unikernels, which are specialized single address space machine images constructed by library operating systems. And one such example is Mirage OS, which is a library operating system written in OCaml, which means that so the way we execute unikernels is in a virtualized environment. You can see at the bottom that instead of this whole stack of building a hypervisor and OS kernel and user processes and application runtime. We just cut a lot of layers and put the library operating system, the unit kernel, directly above the hypervisor. And this reduces complexity and attack surface, and also, importantly, resource use, because these systems can run with tens of memory and CPU requirements of when running the full stack of OS applications. So, Solo 5 is a sandboxed execution environment for unit kernels that allows them to run either in a different visualized environments with hardware visualization or a seccomp sandboxed Unix process. Another building block I'd like to point out is Irmin, which is a distributed database based on the principles of Git, and it is implemented in OCaml and can run as Mirage OS unikernel. So the idea behind this data store is the ability to have mergeable persistent data structures, which means that it's very similar to how Git works, except we store data inside the repository instead of source code. The way it works is that we have data types and merge functions, and we design data types and data structures from these data types in a way that they are mergeable. And if you make it conflict-free, then we get the CRDTs, conflict-free replicated data types. And a few of them are implemented in Irmin, such as counter, multiset, set, map. And an application that uses Irmin can also define their own data structures and merge functions. It also supports various backends, such as a memory chunked data store, where data blobs get chunked up in equal sizes and stored in a content address store. And it also has a Git backend that is the file system layout is compatible with the Git repository layout, so you can use all the Git tools to inspect and operate on the on this data store. One next step could be as a backend to have an encrypted chunked backend for storing the object, which is not implemented yet. There was my first trial alpha implementation, but that's currently not usable. So this would allow to store encrypted databases in different places on the internet without the hosters knowing what they are actually hosting, what the data is. So next I'd like to talk about various network architectures that are in use and proposed. One is this federated server architecture that many decentralized applications are using these days for various purposes, such as messaging or file hosting like Nextcloud, or messaging like Matrix and whatnot. Or a similar category would be like things like pads, but there's usually no federation. But it's still a similar architecture. But one problem with this is that often the messaging architecture is a full mesh between these servers, which means that they don't scale to very large number of users on very large number of servers. And it's also very difficult to have a copy of our own data if we are using these services, because usually these servers store the data structures in their databases, and maybe if they federate, then they synchronize among each other. But to the user, they provide a user interface that is that just allows to display and manipulate the data, but the users usually don't have a full copy of the data. Sometimes you can export these the data stored. For example, you have a collaborative pad, and then you export the data, and what you get is a text file or an HTML or PDF or whatever, but which is nice, but you cannot really edit it locally and work with it, because next time you go online, the pad change, you cannot even copy paste, because you would delete changes of other people. And it's also hard to switch hosters because of the identities and because you cannot easily take your data with you. So another architecture is peer-to-peer networks, peer-to-peer systems, either unstructured or structured are the two main types. With structured, you get things like DHTs and other decentralized data structures, distributed ledger systems, and all these. But problems with these is that if you rely on a DHT or blockchain technology, it assumes a globally connected, always online network, which is not necessarily the case all the time. So I would propose a two-tier peer-to-peer system that solves many of these issues in a way that you still have a peer-to-peer network between servers, but user devices would connect to this peer-to-peer network via proxies to avoid issues with the high resource use that is required to participate in this network in terms of network traffic, disk I/O, and CPU time, which you cannot really afford when using mobile devices. And if we build the replication on the protocol level, where we replicate the data between these are the proxy nodes, and this is a user. So replicate the data in the core peer network among these proxy peer-to-peer nodes, and also to the users. So once a user goes offline, they have still access to all the data. And if we employ mergeable data structures, then we get this very similar workflow to Git, where you can just merge your changes and continue working. And the second tier is the peer-to-peer among local nodes, because if you are on the same network with other people, why would you go to the internet? Just talk to them directly. So this gives a more resilient architecture with focusing on replication, offline and local use, with opportunistic synchronization. And so the way you do data replication is with a decentralized PubSub protocol, so that once someone pushes a change to the network, all the subscribers of this data store get the changes and can merge the changes locally, and in a way that the merges happen on end-user devices and not on these proxy nodes, which only see encrypted data. So this is in more detail. This architecture So this is a peer-to-peer proxy node. This is a user device, and the peer-to-peer network between servers and a local peer-to-peer network. Okay, so with this, I get to the point of writing collaborative applications, which are sandboxed, self-contained, and running locally completely. And this allows offline access to the data and offline search in all the data you are interacting with. You don't have to go to Google to ask where your files are and what where a certain piece of information is. And later we can also bring this to a peer-to-peer search, which I'm not going to talk about right now. But what I'd like to point out is that so this once a data store user interacts with the data store, what happens is that the user asks their proxy to clone this data store from wherever, from another node that is participating in the same collaboration group, and then it gets cloned on the proxy server, and then this proxy server keeps an encrypted inbox and storage for the user, so you can go offline, do your thing, come back, and then you get the changes. You just have one single connection to a proxy server and not the whole peer-to-peer network. So the important point is that on servers everything is encrypted, but so we can do just synchronization of an encrypted object store, and once it reaches the user has the encryption keys, so it can decrypt the database, merge the changes, and as a user interface, so these are the Irmin databases or unikernels with this mergeable data structure store. And as a user interface, an application could use a GraphQL API that is provided by the database, which means that any kind of application technology and programming language can be used for developing such applications. If someone is into web technologies, you can use a JavaScript application to interact with a local database. So the important point here is that these applications are self-contained and sandboxed, so that an application cannot just go anywhere on the internet, but only interact with this data store as a way to just render the data on a user interface and allow the user to interact with the data and change it. And once the change is pushed back, made to the database, then it's pushed back to the peer-to-peer network or to the local nodes. So it's also possible to have a complete offline local collaboration network. What else? So another thing is that the last thing I want to mention is that access control is still possible in this infrastructure in the database, since all data stores are public key addressed, and then the creator of the database can sign an access control list and or issue certificates to the people who can modify the data. So it's still possible to make open databases in a way that we can control who can modify it. That's it. And if you have questions, ask. And this.
So we have 5 minutes for questions. How does this stretch differ to existing systems?
Yes, so one important difference is that the focus here is dynamic data and collaboration on dynamic data with a publish subscribe protocol to distribute the changes. Because the way this IPFS works is that they started with a static file system, this decentralized static file store that is distributed all over the internet. And one important aspect of IPFS is that it relies on a DHT to find other nodes. So you need to be connected to a global always online network. And what I'm talking about is collaboration and opportunistic synchronization and not relying on always online networks. That's briefly it.
So we
have the local nodes and then a couple of different servers. And can someone in that local system submit to another server? Yes, so the question was whether someone on this local network can also submit changes? The answer is yes, because so all these circles are like this. It's just I didn't draw it. So this node also has a proxy, or it has the same proxy.
So if one of that local network pushes to the bottom one, and another one to the top one, then they will know when which data was
masked. Yeah. So there are two ways. Like if this node changes something, and pushes the changes to this node, this can distribute the changes online, and also if this node has its own proxy, it can do the same. So one use case is that you start a collaboration locally, offline, everyone goes home, and then they all sync with their own proxies, and then later can collaboration online. But it's not necessarily like that. I mean, the idea is that these are merchable data structures, so if there are two concurrent changes, the data structures are designed in a way that they are merchable without conflict. That's the idea. Yeah. If you design the data structures, so, yes. Anyone else?
Our message on the user device seems very technological because you have to install a microservicing or microfinance. And how will the user of the sovereign, if it's too much technical and is not able to install it on the device?
So the question was whether this infrastructure on the user devices are too complex, and a simple user could install this. So my answer is that we can design systems that automate the setup of all of this infrastructure. And my goal is to have systems that are self-managing and self-repairing, and no system administrators are needed to maintain servers. But we need, like, for instance, if you have a peer-to-peer hosting service, then you need one administrator, but you don't need an administrator for each little database or container or whatnot, but automate everything as much as possible, and on the user devices have an infrastructure that sets up all of these automatically, and the user would like interact with the user interface that are very similar to current technologies, a web browser or apps on a mobile device. So it's just about replacing everything underneath the user interfaces and they can get more privacy and support. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Y I'm not sure if I understood correctly. Do you need the peer-to-peer proxy to be in between you and the peer-to-peer network? So the middle part of this graph, is it necessary, or could you pop stuff directly to the peer-to-peer network?
You could, if you wish, you could connect to the peer-to-peer network directly or run your own proxies, but the idea is that with mobile user devices, you wouldn't want to participate in core peer-to-peer protocols. You can host a node in your home if you have a good, stable connection, but it's not, you wouldn't want to run all these protocols on mobile end user devices. Anyone else?
Here, in the front.
Yeah, Sam.
Send a message for the PubSub and the node is not online, you can't receive it. You have to store the message and queue it later to send it again. What if a node goes offline for a very, very long time? You have a very large message queue in the PubSub server.
No, so the way we do it is we would have a database synchronization protocol. And then once everything is synchronized, you just push the changes via PubSub. So, which means that you can have an efficient synchronization protocol, and then once you're up to date, you just use the PubSub to receive the changes.
Okay, so you don't use PubSub for all the messages. You can also just say, give me the latest.
Yes, you can just clone,
okay.
Like Git. Okay, I think that's one more.
Editing simultaneously, I don't know, the same file or whatever, is the, how do you merge? What about conflicts? Is there like one identity that is the real owner of FTP, or how do you manage?
Well, the idea is that when you're developing applications, collaborative applications, you design your data structures in a way that the merges are conflict free, and or you design your merges in a way that is deterministic and on all nodes, and then you don't need like a centralized entity that decides which is the real one. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.